Welcome to the MTFN Bizcast, a podcast designed to provide information regarding a variety of legal topics. The attorneys at Meisner, Tierney, Fisher & Nichols host new episodes every month covering topics that are current and relevant to business owners, professionals, and members of the legal community. Although we cannot provide legal advice that you can rely on in these episodes, we do hope that they will be helpful to you if and when you ever do need to seek professional advice.
Welcome back to the MTFN podcast. I'm attorney Sean Bukowski. I'm one of the many, many attorneys in our litigation group. Today we are talking about bifurcation and stay on bad faith discovery. So that probably means absolutely nothing to you right now. You probably hear the words and you're probably like, well, what does that mean? So let me give you a little bit of a background to be able to kind of provide you that information. You know, we represent a lot of insurance companies, a lot of insurers. So generally what happens is, you know, let's just say, for example, we get a claim that doesn't get resolved at the claim level. Then at that point, the insured will, you know, potentially there's an opportunity for appraisal. There's some other ADR options that are available. However, generally what we see is that claim's not resolved and then it gets put into suit. Generally what we see is an insured will bring suit for a breach of contract and bad faith. Now, those are two separate distinct claims. So the breach of contract is just generally based on the contractual language that's in the insurance policy, and it's essentially just whether you're entitled to benefits under the insurance policy. That's the limited nature of a breach of contract claim. And then on the other hand, and you've probably maybe heard our podcast in the past, so you might know a little bit about bad faith. But bad faith is that extra contractual tort that goes beyond the contract and starts talking about the obligations that we have to our insurer. It starts talking about, you know, whether or not we treated our insureds appropriately. Did we do a thorough investigation? There's a lot of extra contractual things that aren't specifically in the contract, but are certain obligations that we have to our insured that Wisconsin law dictates. So when that gets put into suit, we obviously generally file our answer. Then at that point, we always like to proceed with what's called a motion to bifurcate and stay discovery. The reason why we do that is a few different reasons. And you'll probably hear me talk about a few different cases throughout this podcast, and I probably will bore you a little bit. But generally what happens is a breach of contract and a bad faith claim, again, those are distinct claims. So at a breach of contract phase, we are literally just talking about whether you're entitled to insurance benefits. So for example, a lot of the cases that we have deal with some type of covered peril under the insurance policy. So maybe it's hail damage, maybe it's wind damage, maybe it's fire damage, maybe you have some type of water damage. There's a lot of different claims that you could have at the breach of contract phase. And again, those just are based on whether you're entitled to benefits under the insurance policy. So it's essentially whether or not, for example, if there's a hail claim, the breach of contract inquiry would be essentially whether or not, you know, your roof or maybe a garage or some type of other structure, or maybe it's your interior, or maybe it's your windows or siding, whether those aspects of your home sustained hail damage such that you should be able to get policy benefits under the insurance policy. And the reason why we bifurcate is because, one, they're two separate distinct claims, and essentially, the seminal case on that is what's called Dahman versus American Family. Dahman was a case about 20 years ago that where an insured brought suit for a breach of contract in a bad faith claim for UIM benefits under the insurance policy. The insured brought suit for breach of contract and bad faith, and it was for a UIM claim. So it was an underinsured claim. And at the trial court level, the court did not bifurcate and did not stay discovery on the bad faith claim. It eventually got appealed to the appellate court level. And then at that point, the court said, look, they abused their discretion at the trial court level. And the court went through a variety of factors that a circuit court must consider when they're determining whether or not they're going to bifurcate and stay discovery. And the court started talking about, one, you need to factor the complexity of the issues. Two, you need to determine whether or not there's going to be jury confusion. And then three, whether or not there's going to be judicial economy. And the very last factor, number four, whether there's any type of prejudice, particularly in the discovery process, to the insurer. Those are the four factors that a court, whether it's on a UIM claim or a UM or a hail loss or any other type of insurance claim, when an insurer brings that motion, those are the four factors that the court needs to consider. And the reason why insurers want to do that and to bifurcate and stay these claims is because, one, as I mentioned, they're two distinct claims. So that presents a problem when we start proceeding through the discovery on both bad faith and breach of contract, because at that point, on a bad faith claim, an insured starts getting into internal institutional discovery that really doesn't have any relevance to the breach of contract claim. So, for example, when you get into a bad faith claim, the insured might start deposing claim managers or team managers, supervisors, essentially people up the chain of command that, quite frankly, might not have even had anything to do with this claim. They start getting into institutional documentation, such as manuals, how you essentially investigate, and essentially they try to hold you to, okay, whether you not you actually followed your manual, did you follow your guidelines when you were handling this claim? That's what's different with a bad faith claim. It really focuses on the investigation and the handling of a claim rather than whether that claim is actually whether that claim is actually something that's going to be covered under the insurance policy. That's why there's a distinction, and that's why we typically insureds always want to actually file this motion to bifurcate and stay. So I want to take you through the four factors very quickly. Generally, we always take the position that, one, bifurcation and stay is mandatory. We haven't seen any appellate court case that have actually said it's appropriate to essentially deny a motion to bifurcate and stay. We've never seen that. We generally find that to be a mandatory decision that the court needs to make, because if you look at the second case that generally comes up in a lot of these cases is the Brett Horst case. And Brett Horst was a little different than the Dahman case. Brett Horst, in that case, the insured only brought a claim for bad faith. I'm not going to get into really essentially what's the distinction between when an insured only brings a bad faith claim in comparison to when they actually bring a breach of contract and a bad faith claim. I'm going to stick just with the breach of contract and the bad faith. In those circumstances, the Brett Horst case, and this was a Wisconsin Supreme Court case from 2011, made it very clear that when an insured brings suit and they file claims for breach of contract and bad faith, the court must bifurcate and stay discovery. At least one of the reasons why they said so is because an insured under Wisconsin law has to prove a breach of contract first before there's even any possibility of bad faith. So when the case proceeds through litigation, there's a threshold issue that the insured has to prove first. They have to say, okay, I was owed benefits under the insurance policy and I was denied those benefits, therefore there's a breach. If you're able to prove a breach, you may be able to start getting into bad faith discovery. That's not automatic. I think there's a lot of people out there and a lot of plaintiff's attorneys say, well, automatically, if I prove my breach of contract, that automatically means they're bad faith. That's not true. A lot of times, is, you know, the insurance company very well might be wrong. That doesn't mean they handled the claim in bad faith. That doesn't mean they did not investigate. Simply, we just have a disagreement. And under Wisconsin law, a disagreement is not bad faith. You have to have something higher than that, some type of reckless disregard for the information that you're being provided. Maybe you totally ignore information. That's when you start getting into the bad faith analysis. So going back to the four Dahmen factors beyond just that prerequisite, the complexity of the issues, the judge generally doesn't discuss that issue that much. And quite frankly, we don't bring it up that much. I think to the extent that there is complexity of the issues, that really starts just talking about the fact that there's two distinct claims that we're talking about. Even when plaintiff's counsel opposes our motion, this is generally not a factor that's really briefed that much. And quite frankly, a lot of judges really don't even consider it as much, maybe as they should, in their decisions. The three other factors, however, are quite different. First off, the issue of prejudice in the discovery process. We kind of went over that a little bit. The concern that we always have is when the breach of contract and bad faith claims proceed concurrently, the issue with allowing that is they not only get some of the information that they could get at the breach of contract phase, but then they start getting into really invasive institutional discovery that can get very expensive. So that's generally why there's some type of prejudice in the bad faith section of the case, because at the bad faith section of the case, that's when you start getting into, again, a lot of that institutional discovery. You start opposing essentially anybody that is in the claim file. And that's really not what a breach of contract's about. A breach of contract is really just about whether the facts show that you're entitled to benefits under the policy. Again, bad faith, there's extra contractual type obligations and extra contractual type issues that you deal with. And again, that's typically why the Dahmen Court and the Brett Horse Court, and that's why a lot of the circuit courts say there's a lot of prejudice to the insurer in the discovery process if you allow these two claims to proceed concurrently. The other issue that is typically brought up as well is that there's going to be some type of juror confusion. Again, these cases almost will always go to a jury if they even get to a trial court level. The problem with allowing a breach of contract and a bad faith claim to be brought together, one, they're just two separate claims. And sometimes, and maybe our viewers know this as well, jurors, you can tell a juror something and you can tell them to disregard this information, or you can tell them, you know, this evidence can only be used in the breach of contract phase. At the end of the day, we're all human beings, and when we hear something, it's hard to make a distinction if someone's telling you, okay, you can't use this evidence in a different part of the case. A lot of times jurors will hear that and they'll say, okay, but it's in their mind at that point. And that's where that juror confusion starts coming in. And that's why it's also prejudicial for the insurance company to have those claims brought together, because the problem is a jury is going to see this breach of contract evidence and bad faith evidence being presented at the same time. And they're just not going to be able to have the discipline to say, okay, this information's only breach of contract. This information and evidence is only bad faith. The problem is a lot of juries and juror persons that will be on the jury will see this bad faith evidence, and they'll use the bad faith evidence against the insurer at the breach of contract phase. And that's not appropriate. The last factor that the court considers is the issue of judicial economy. Generally, what you hear all the time in these cases from plaintiff's counsel, well, if you bifurcate and you stay discovery, that means there's got to be a trial on the breach of contract phase. And then you know, we'll have to go through a whole set of different discovery period, and then 2 years later, we'll have a trial for bad faith. Quite frankly, the idea of delay isn't very, it's not a very strong argument. At the end of the day, our system moves slowly. And I think what happens is plaintiffs really just forget that there is a threshold issue that they have to prove first. Again, they have to prove that breach of contract before you can even get into bad faith to the extent that you can. So for example, let's just say this case goes to trial at the breach of contract phase, and a jury agrees with the insurance company. At that point, we will have gone through breach of contract discovery and bad faith discovery, wasting everybody's time, money, and expense when it shouldn't have been in the first place because they hadn't proved that threshold issue. And that's where we start getting into a judicial economy argument. And that's typically how courts will actually analyze that issue. Sometimes courts will consider, you know, delay, but again, if delay was the argument, courts would never be able to bifurcate and stay because by its very nature, if you bifurcate and if you stay discovery, there will be a delay. So if that's the argument and that's the standard, a court would have no other way to handle this issue but to allow the discovery and the claims to proceed to trial together and to proceed at the discovery process and the discovery phase together as well. So it's really not a very strong argument. Some of the other arguments that we see is, well, you know, my insured, you know, they don't have as much money as these big insurance companies, and the fact that this case is dragging on isn't hurting the insurance company. That's not a very strong argument either because, one, in a lot of these claims, there potentially could be some benefits owed, but generally the insured is not really in a poor position where, you know, they're struggling or the fact that they didn't get these insurance benefits are somehow prejudicing them or something like that. The fact that there's some type of delay, it is really not any prejudice. And quite frankly, no court in the state of Wisconsin has ever held that there's some type of prejudice to the insured specifically with regards to some type of delay. So that's generally how you could see a motion to bifurcate and stay. Those are typically the arguments that you will see. I hope you understood kind of the distinction between bad faith and how that proceeds through the process. This is really just the very, very beginning of a case. This is something that we bring at the beginning of the case, and then essentially the case proceeds afterwards, some discovery, depositions, trial. But I hope you understood this issue because this is an issue that always comes up in every single case. And there generally is a fight at the beginning of the case with regards to whether or not you should proceed with a breach of contract and a bad faith claim at the same time. I think Wisconsin law is pretty clear, consistent with the Dahman in the Brett Horse case, that until you prove that breach of contract, you can't get into bad faith discovery. And that's the reason why the Brett Horse case says that when you bring a breach of contract and a bad faith claim concurrently in your complaint, bifurcation and a stay on bad faith is required. So with that, I will sign off. Again, if you ever want to talk to me or ask questions, you can check out our MTFN website at mtfn.com. You can check in the, I believe in the Our People link, and you can check out my profile, the very pretty picture, and I'm willing to chat about anything, any type of questions you might have on, you know, this subject, whether it's, you know, this motion to bifurcate and stay issue or any other type of insurance issues that you might have. Again, my name is Sean Bukowski. I appreciate everybody listening to our MTFN podcast once again. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MTFN Bizcast. For more information, please visit our website, mtfn.com. There you can access other podcast episodes, articles, and the contact information for our attorneys. To keep up to date with Meisner, Tierney, Fisher & Nichols, you can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter